to the Bowden Blitz SEC edition. I'm Joe Lisi, joined by former National Coach of the Year, Terry Bowden. Coach, great games on tap in the SEC this coming weekend, week number 9. We'll turn our attention to the updated odds entering Saturday. No surprise, Alabama, fresh off their win against Tennessee by 17 points, has the Crimson Tide as the team to beat within the conference, plus 125 to win an SEC championship, followed by Texas A&M, Georgia, Texas, and Ole Miss to round it out. Give me your thoughts about the conference as a whole entering this weekend.
Well, it's been shuffled around a little bit. I think still the team that nobody expected to be there is Texas A&M, the only totally undefeated team. They're undefeated in the conference like Alabama. So that's the team that right now, if they have to score a lot and win, they score a lot and win. If they have to win a tight one, they win a tight one. But Alabama is trending toward the top. That's why they're at the top. Georgia is not far behind because they've only got that one loss to Alabama. So I think it's about the thing. I think the question I have is be careful, Oklahoma, if they play well against Ole Miss, the way their defense is playing, they may jump back up there and get in the hunt. That's a good one for the money, Oklahoma, because of what they're the way they're now playing.
We saw the transition after Texas knocked off Oklahoma in the Red River rivalry, that Texas all of a sudden jumped as one of the better teams in the conference to potentially make the college football playoff, win an SEC championship, and then they go on the road last weekend as basically a 12.5-point road favorite and struggle against Mark Stoops in Kentucky. They win that ballgame in overtime by only 3 points, and now the perception for Texas is, where do they go from here? They do have a difficult road game in Starkville this coming weekend, but you mentioned it. Oklahoma was looked at, Coach, as a team that had a very difficult schedule, and I guess, when you look, but Brent Venables not looked at as an elite head coach like Kirby, obviously, and like some of the others within the conference, even Kalen DeBoer for that matter, and not getting a lot of love due to the fact that they lost a very close game against a rival in Dallas, right? So when you look at the big picture and we see Ole Miss at 17-1, we know that Oklahoma's defense is going to ball out on Saturday.
Well, here's what I saw. They played John Mateer too early. He went out there and played, was not healthy. Hand did not go well. They had 3 interceptions. They couldn't score points. They lose to Texas. Texas right now is wondering if Arch Manning is even should be the starter. They've got problems there. But the one thing that hasn't ever changed is Brent Venables is a great defensive coordinator, and he's calling the shots. He's got the number one defense, the number one sack defense, total defense. And if John Mateer continues to play like we thought he would play, that's why I have them elevated so much. It wasn't how they played against Texas that was representative. It's how they play with great defense and him playing well. That's why I say with the Ole Miss game coming up, that's going to be huge. And then with their coach at Ole Miss getting so much distraction, now that is a distraction. He's getting tons of distraction for other head coaching jobs. That's why I'm saying there's a chance, and we'll know this weekend, if they go out there and they knock off Ole Miss and hold the points down because Ole Miss can score, then I think you've got to throw Oklahoma back up. But right now, Alabama, Texas A&M, Georgia, I like those three as the choices up there. And now I'm just thinking after that, maybe Oklahoma or Ole Miss, not Texas.
Yeah, 4.5-point home favorite in favor of the Oklahoma Sooners. It is back-to-back road games for Lane Kiffin and the Ole Miss Rebels. Put up a 30 spot against a very good defense in Georgia, but did not win and cover that game. Lost by 8 points, so we'll see how it plays out, and we'll dive into that game a little bit later. But you mentioned the SEC championship, right? Well, there's only going to be two teams that play for an SEC title. There is the potential to get a third, fourth, or even a fifth team in the college football playoff, Coach, and that's where potentially from the national championship perspective there can be value. You mentioned Oklahoma. Right now, Oklahoma 33-1 shot to potentially win a national championship. We see Vanderbilt with a very good game against Missouri. That's going to be separation Saturday. A&M and LSU with great value. Where do you look outside the top three maybe for potentially a national championship in the conference?
Well, again, I think you got to look at like the guys, the people that are playing so well. I think that outside those, I think Mississippi and Oklahoma would be the ones that are not in that top three, because potentially Oklahoma, if their offense can elevate themselves as they're beginning to do, will play great defense, and that's what keeps you in the game late in the season. Then, of course, Ole Miss, if they come back and can score like they did against Georgia, against Oklahoma, then I would have to say I've probably overestimated Oklahoma. So top three, clearly Alabama, Texas A&M, Georgia. But to me, I don't have Texas quite fitting in there. I think they've got some offensive problems that were going to hurt them in the remainder of the season.
I agree with you. I think the team to beat, even though they're at the third best price and lost to Alabama for me, is the Georgia Bulldogs at 11-1. I think they have great value overall, big picture. Yep. And I know their defense potentially hasn't looked the way it has in recent years, giving up a lot of points. But from an offensive perspective, running the football effectively, averaging 195 yards on the ground, they show that they can go toe-to-toe with the likes of Tennessee. And even last week, coming from behind against Ole Miss, I like the recipe for Kirby Smart to at least get that defense humming as they enter potentially an SEC championship and the college football playoff at 11-1. That's great value. Another team to keep an eye out on, and we'll break it down a little bit later in the show, is Missouri. Very difficult matchup against Vanderbilt, but if they get that road win, that'll be back-to-back road wins against Auburn and Vanderbilt at 33-1, coach. That's not bad value for Eli Drinkwitz and the Tigers entering week number 9.
You're exactly right. You know, we talked about Kirby Smart and Georgia maybe the best team when it comes to postseason. That's because of the great job Kirby Smart does in making adjustments and playing in big games. But the two coaches that I think are competing for Coach of the Year are Eli Drinkwitz and Lee Clark. They're the two that are doing the most with their programs. Now, they may not have the best chance of winning the conference, but when you talk about two coaches that have shown they can take a team and make a great football team with them, they're two teams that are remarkable how good they play. They play a great football against the better teams in the conference. And so with those two coaches directing those teams, they can beat anybody. Both of them have lost a close ball game to a very good team in the conference, and it's going to take down. And they play each other this week, so we'll see how they do against each other. But those are two really fine teams with probably the best coaching jobs in the SEC coming from those two.
Absolutely. Vanderbilt gets the home win over LSU last week as a 2.5-point home favorite. They win it by 7 points, 31-24. We also saw Missouri go on the road and win that game against the Auburn Tigers in double overtime, 23-17. Coach, before we dive into the games, is there any value on Texas at 27-1? We know that from a defensive perspective, they could go toe-to-toe with anybody, but have you seen enough out of this offense where if they sneak in to the college football playoff, they have a legitimate shot?
I don't think so. I just think there's been every opportunity for them to score points against good people. They've had to do it. Arch Manning is not – he's just – I think they had him elevated so high in their projection of how he would play this year. I think they really miscalculated that, and now they're struggling not just with – how they're going to be successful offensively, but is this the right guy to have at quarterback? They're really dealing with some of that right now. And again, they're having to push through that. So in my mind, I really think they're now just trying to get back. But again, when you play great defense, you're always in the hunt. But I've got them a little bit lower than some of these other teams just because they don't seem to be able to score enough points against good teams.
We'll see how it plays out. Right now, Texas, a 6.5-point road favorite in Stark, Vegas, against the Miss State Bulldogs. That's a 4 o'clock kick in Starkville. When we come back, we'll dive into the two big games in the conference, Alabama and Williams-Brice. That's a 3:30 kick in the battle in Baton Rouge, A&M against LSU coming up next. Back on the Bowden Blitz, Joe Lisi and Coach Terry Bowden breaking down week number 9 in the SEC. There's a huge game in Williams-Brice. Top-ranked Alabama goes in as a 12.5-point road favorite over South Carolina. South Carolina lost last week at home against Oklahoma. They were catching 5.5 points, fell behind 14-0 and never looked back. They got blown out in that home matchup. But, Coach, last year in Tuscaloosa, Lenora Sellers was able to put some pressure on that defense with his arm and with his legs. They're catching house money here, and Alabama's had 4 straight games where they've expended a lot of energy. They win a rivalry game against top-ranked Tennessee by 17 points. You go on the road. I'm not suggesting Alabama loses this game, but I think this game's going to be a lot closer than people think on Saturday afternoon.
Well, if it is, they're going to have to get a lot more out of Lenora Sellers and just in overall play. I mean, the last three games, he's thrown for under 124 yards, 124, 123, and 124 yards in the last 3 conference games. They have been probably one of the most disappointing teams in all of college football, especially the SEC, and it's because of their offense. So, again, they're struggling like you would see LSU struggle. And it comes down to, can they get the most out of their quarterback? Because that's what it's going to take, because Alabama's going to score points. I mean, they've been playing well. Their quarterback is playing lights out. Ron Williams is now getting back into the game. He's a big play threat guy for Alabama. So I just don't think we're seeing enough out of South Carolina's offense to give them a chance. I'm going to stay with South Carolina. I'm with Alabama to beat them like they did Tennessee. You know, I thought Tennessee would play closer to Alabama, and they beat them by 18. And that's the only reason I said, you know what, Tennessee's playing better than South Carolina. And I just think for that reason, I'm riding Alabama again. Just the way they're playing and the inability of South Carolina to get great performance out of that, whether it's offensive line or quarterback, whatever it is, they're very non-productive on offense.
I think in order for South Carolina, and I'm taking the points with the Gamecocks, I'm going to rely on their secondary, right? So their secondary very effective. They're only giving up 186 passing yards per game, holding opposing quarterbacks to a 59% completion percentage. They've only allowed 1,300-plus passing yards on the season through 7 games. That's a very good effort. They've only allowed 7 passing touchdowns, and they've been opportunistic. 8 interceptions entering this matchup. The fact that they're playing at home, disappointing home loss, I think they slow the tempo and look to get Alabama into a lower scoring game. The rushing attack hasn't been as dominant as it was last year. They're only averaging 106 yards on the ground, but you do have a mobile quarterback in Lenora Sellers. And when we broke down the game last week against Tennessee, we had said that Alabama's front 7, not the same in run support as it's been in recent years. So that's where I think South Carolina potentially has an advantage. Playing at home, slow the tempo, and keep Ty Simpson on the sidelines. If you score first, force a turnover here and there, I think you could be within the 12.5-point number.
Yeah, and I think Shane Beamer knows the importance of this football game. They've lost 4 out of their last 5. Nobody's happy. He's probably tired of hearing that Virginia Tech talk, because I think he knows where he wants to be and what he wants to do. Personally, I wouldn't want to go to Florida State and follow my dad back when he was a great coach. I'm not sure he wants to go to Virginia Tech and be behind his father there. So he's had to get rid of that. But right now, if there was ever a time that they come out and put their offense together, you know, they fired their offensive coordinator several weeks ago, and hopefully that's been corrected. But they're going to have to get more execution, more production out of a great quarterback this time against Alabama, because I think they're going to slowly drift behind if they don't.
Let's look at the late matchup in Death Valley, 7:45 kick. It's the first time that LSU is underdogs to anybody outside of Alabama over the past like 5 to 6 seasons, if not longer, Coach. So LSU, the underdogs in this matchup against top-ranked Texas A&M. This is a lethal passing attack led by Marcel Reed. The inconsistency continues for Brian Kelly and this LSU offense. They can't run the football consistently. They are going to also be potentially out without their starting linebacker, Whit Weeks, yet again. Coach, this is a do-or-die situation for LSU. How do you see this game playing out? Because you know that Mike Elko and the Aggies are going to push a little bit of tempo in this ballgame.
Yeah, I mean, I just think Texas A&M has played in pressure games. They have they've done whatever it takes to win. They're playing like a championship team. You know, if they've got to score a lot, they score a lot. If they've got to win a close one, you know, they gave up 40 points against Notre Dame, so they scored 41. They only scored 16 against Auburn, so they held Auburn to 10. They gave up 42 against Arkansas, so they scored 45. I think LSU's a one-trick pony. They're a defensive football team, and they have had trouble with a dual-threat quarterback, and that's what Marcel Reed is. And so they're underdogs for the second time. It's only a field goal difference. So when I think of Texas A&M going into Death Valley and winning, I think a win by a field goal is about what I would think they can do.
It's a great point about mobile quarterbacks and their ability to contain the likes of Trinidad Chambliss, the likes of even Ty Simpson and other quarterbacks like Jalen Milroe last year. They really struggled. That's been an Achilles heel for Blake Baker and this defense. We'll see how it plays out. Certainly couldn't contain Diego Pavia last week as well. LSU last week, Coach, did average 4.7 yards per carry, but only 100 rushing yards on 21 attempts. They need to change the offensive philosophy with Joe Sloan.
Yeah, and that sometimes you can't do. Joe Sloan is probably calling football the way he knows to call it. There's a book on him and how he does it. Brian Kelly, these things needed to be cited usually in the offseason. But if I am the head coach, and this would be his fourth year of not making the college football playoffs or the SEC championship game, and he's a $100 million coach. And so that would be – I would think if there was a game that he had to call his staff in offensively and say, man, let's change what we're doing. We've got to be more balanced, run the football, explosive downfield throws, and let's put it together because we got to score points because we know if it's a high-scoring game, TAMU has the ability, or Texas A&M has the ability to score points if that's what they have to do.
Garrett Nussmeier, only 227 passing yards last week. If LSU is going to score points, they need to get the passing attack in gear, most notably Aaron Anderson, number one for that offense. We'll come back with two other big games in the SEC right here on the Bowden Blitz. Back on the Bowden Blitz, Joe Lisi and Coach Bowden breaking down week number 9 in the SEC. Left off talking about the battle in Baton Rouge, Texas A&M and LSU squaring off. We'll now turn our attention to the battle in Norman. Right now, Oklahoma opens up as a 4.5, 5-point home favorite over Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin. Ole Miss with a disappointing road loss to Georgia last week. They now go back on the road. 54.5 is the total, Coach. Can Ole Miss exploit that Oklahoma defense in back-to-back weeks?
Well, they're going to have to mix the run in with the pass because Brent Billables, his head coaching talents will come out as he serves as the defensive coordinator. And he leads the nation in sacks. He leads the nation in total defense. They have been dominant. And having worked at Clemson for a couple of years as an analyst that did a lot of work for him, he will find a different way to attack the quarterback and pressure every game. Whatever Ole Miss prepares for this week, he'll come with a different player. He'll blitz in a different way, and he will study. I know him and Lane Kiffin have been arguing over who tries to steal signals more. I guarantee Brent Venables would have his coaches looking at every TV copy, every film, because I did it for 2 years. He will have every idea about what Ole Miss is doing. So I think they've got to run the ball and mix it up at Ole Miss to protect that quarterback. It'll be a little different on defense than it's been for him, even at Georgia, who doesn't have the pressure defense that Oklahoma has.
Now, Oklahoma, a dominant home team this year, 4-0 in Norman. They've won those games by an average margin of victory, Coach, of 22.2 points per game. We know that they have one of the best rush defenses in all of the SEC as well, holding opposing offenses well under 4 yards per carry. if they could force Trinidad Chambliss into long third downs. That could mean predictable situations. That front seven potentially could get quarterback pressures, and that has to be the defensive game plan for Oklahoma. For Ole Miss, can they shut down the run against the Sooners? The Sooners were very effective last week. If Ole Miss is going to pull this ball game out defensively, they really need to shut down the rushing attack, something they couldn't do last week against the Bulldogs.
Well, I think that's very important that they do. John Mateer, if he's healthy, a lot of people say, well, coach, how can you be so pulled for Oklahoma when they lost so bad to Texas? Because John Mateer wasn't ready for him to have the kind of game he needs to have, explosive plays. They've got to be able to run that football and mix it up. And I'm going to say this, Georgia never got slowed down running the football against Ole Miss. They ran four straight quarters. They ran the football well against Ole Miss. So I think Ole Miss will be vulnerable to the running attack. And if they're successful there, John Mateer will really be effective throwing the ball downfield. So it's all based on run the football enough to get those deep balls thrown from John Mateer. Because like I said, Ole Miss is going to have to score points. I believe they're going to have to score points if John Mateer gets hot with that offense.
We'll see how that game plays out. It's an afternoon kick in Norman. Another early kick takes place in Vanderbilt, Nashville. A big game yet again. We saw the Commodores step up against the Tigers. First time that they were favored in the series, coach, since 1948. We come right back. Vanderbilt, a 2.5-point home favorite over the Missouri Tigers. This is a red-hot Missouri team. Even though they lost a couple weeks ago, they did get a gutty road win against a very good Auburn defense. They now go back on the road. I like Missouri in this matchup. I think defensively they can run with Diego Pavia. I like Bo Perbula, and keep an eye out for Ahmad Hardy to potentially get back on track in this matchup.
Well, Ahmad Hardy, I think, is the key. If they can run the ball with him, even a little bit better than they did in their game against Auburn, they need to run the football with him to be successful, because I really put my money on Pavia. I believe when it comes down to it, like I tend to do with Haynes King, when I have a game like this, and I think Missouri does a great job, their coaching staff does a great job, Prabula is not a great quarterback, but he's great at running their offense and is very effective. And so I tend to look, okay, who's the one guy that can change the outcome of this game? To me, it's Diego Pavia. The way he can create, he creates plays. He makes things happen just on his own talent and imagination himself. And so he'll be the most important guy on that football field, because he's the one they'll have to stop.
2 weeks ago, Ahmad Hardy led all of FBS with 730 rushing yards, averaging well over 7 yards per carry in back-to-back weeks against Auburn and Alabama, coach. He's been held under 60 yards, 58 and 52 respectively. Even though he hit pay dirt twice last week, I expect a more dominant effort. Hardy breaks out with 100-plus, and Missouri wins the game outright. For Coach Bowden, I'm Joe Lisi. Have a great weekend, everyone. We'll see you next week. Enjoy the games.